Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Ches. We are in Zayin Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We are coming off a Mishnah on yesterday's daf. The Mishnah talked about everyone's requirement to make contributions towards the communal goods. The Mishnah started off by talking about when you have a chatzer, which is a courtyard that is connected to multiple houses. So each one of them has to make contributions in order to provide proper security for the courtyard, and for that matter the city. Members of the city have to make proper contributions, and so that everybody participates in building a wall for the city. And the Mishnah also had a debate in terms of when you become a member of the city, 12 months or the purchasing of a house. That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. We're going to come back to that as well. There's much to discuss. Today's daf continues along this discussion. We start on the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, and we are by the words of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rama Deshura Ad Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so he levied a tax against the Chachamim to build the wall. In other words, so there was a wall that was necessary to create a security for the people in the city. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya had an assessment that he had everyone make contributions to the wall, and including that assessment, he also levied the same assessment against Talmidei Chachamim as well. And to that, the Gemara was very critical. So the Gemara says, "Amar Reish Lakish Rabban Lotzrichan Etiriyasa." So you'll see this is like a theme alert for today. We're going to see this line again and again throughout today's daf. And Reish Lakish says that the Talmidei Chachamim don't require shmira, and Dichsev, and I'll quote a pasuk that indicates that this is in fact so. The pasuk says, "Sapri Michol Yerbun." So you're going to count more than the sand. So what's the pasuk talking about? The Gemara asked that very question. Asapri Laman. What are we talking about? Who's being counted and who's going to be more than the sand? Ilay Melech Tzadikim Denefisha Mechala. You think Pshat in the pasuk is that the tzadikim are going to be more numerous than grains of the sand? But that can't be. Hashakuli Yisrael Sivahu Kechol Asher Sifas Hayam. When it comes to all of Klal Yisrael, so they are going to be equivalent to Chol Hayam. Tzadikim Atzma Michol Yerbun. So you mean to tell me that the tzadikim, who are obviously just a fraction of Klal Yisrael, so they're going to be greater than the sin? That can't be. Allah Hachikamar. So we have to say a different pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim. The Gemara says this is the pshat we're going to say. Asaprim Lamaasehim Shal Tzadikim Michol Yerbun. It means that their actions are going to be greater than that of the sin. So you take the masim of the tzadikim, and that is going to be greater than all of the sand. V'kavachomer, and the Gemara says, and now that we're here, now we can make the following kavachomer. Machol shemuat megin al hayam. So when you're talking about sand, sand is the barrier that prevents the ocean from going on shore, and basically is that which protects the land from the water. So ma'asim shal tzadikim shem merubim. So now if you have the ma'asim of the tzadikim, which are greater than that of the sand, lo kol shekein shemeginam aleihem. So for sure, it provides their own hagana. It provides a security for the Talmidei Chachamim. Therefore, they do not need to make a contribution towards anything that is respective to protection of the city.
Yeah. Can they contribute to the common good? I mean, you don't look just at yourself.
Right, I understand. Right, the yesterday's daf we talked about. I'll tell you, there are going to be a couple gemaras today. I don't have a good answer to your question. There are going to be a couple gemaras today that clearly indicate that you first worry about yourself and then worry about others. And we're talking about a financial obligation also over here. So yeah, in other words, I'd love to help everybody, but we're talking about my finances. So you have to first worry about yourself. Okay, yes. In other words, from a mito standpoint, you have to worry about everybody. But from a financial standpoint, you first have to take care of yourself. Now, he also commented to Rav Yochanan, "Amar le mein tam lo tem le meha." So Rav Yochanan, who agrees with Reish Lakish, but the only thing that he disagrees with is the source. Why didn't you quote the following? Ani chama v'shadai kemigalos. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which is to be understood b'derech hadrush, and the pasuk says that I am a wall and shadai kemigalos, and ani chama zutar v'shadai kemigalos is elu tamid chachamim. So the chama is a reference to Torah, and the migdalos are a reference to the Talmid HaChachamim. And Rashi on the very top of Ches Amud Aleph writes, Amma Ein Tzrichim Choma. So you see the Talmid HaChachamim are separate of that of the Choma. And they don't need a Choma. So once again, it seems to be, assuming that you work with this Drush, with this particular Drush, that we have a very clear source that says that Talmid HaChachamim don't require a Shmira. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish Shavala Kedidar Shrava. No, Reish Lakish has the Pasuk in Shir Shirim dedicated to a different Drush. And that is, Ani Chomazu Knesset Yisrael V'Shadai K'Megdalos Eilu Bate Knesset U'Bate Midrashos. Okay, so the Choma is a reference to the Klal Yisrael in general, and the Migdal, the towers, are the Shuls and the Beis Medrash. Okay. In the Girsa we have in the Gemara, we are three lines down now from the top of Ches Amud Aleph. It says, Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, the Bach changes it to, I just had it, Rav Chanan. So Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chisda. Okay. So, Rama Karga Rabbanan. So, once again, he levied a tax against the Chachamim. So, Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak again protested significantly this action. And he says, Avarta Daraisava Ad Neviyava Ad Kesuve. And you were in violation of Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And we're going to go through each section of Tanakh and point to a pasuk in each one indicating that you should not be levying a tax against the Talmid HaChachamim. Okay, so Adar writes the Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Avcho ve'vamim kol kedoshav bi'adecha. And so this is obviously the brachos that Moshe gave to Klal Yisrael at the end of his life. Right, we are the last parsha in the Torah and the Gemara Darshans. Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, afilu b'shar she'ata mechavev amim. Even at a time when you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give more favor to the other nations, which, as Rashi explains, meaning that we are subject to the other nations. So clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has favored the other nations. However, kol kedoshav yu biyadecha. So nevertheless, the kedoshav, meaning the tzaddikim, meaning Talmid HaChachamim, of Klal Yisrael, they're still going to be in your hands. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still personally take care of them. And now, as long as we quote the pasuk, we're going to continue darshing the pasuk. And the Gemara explains to Rav Yosef, "Elu Talmid Chachamim shemichat chim ragleim meir leir." So the "Heim Tukul Raglecha" reference to the Talmid Chachamim, and basically they are going from city to city, medina to medina, lo motara. So just the nature of a Talmid Chacham, where he's not stationary, he's in constant motion. And he's moving from job to job, from city to city, in order to teach Torah. Yisa midabro secha. Again, we're just continuing in the pesukim. Lisa v'litem b'dvarosav shalmakom. So, and they are always in exchange, meaning they're always giving and taking, and going over the Torah. Okay, so that's source number one, that you're not allowed to levy a tax against the Talmid HaChachamim. They have an exemption. The Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of him himself. So we already cited a source from Torah. Two more to go. Nevi'im Ksuvim. So Ad the Nevi'i Dichsiv Gam Ki Yitnu Bagoyim Ata Akapsim Vayachalu Me'at Memasa Melech V'sarim. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Treyasar and the Gemara Darshans. Amar Ula Pasuk Zeh B'lashan Aramis Namar. So when you read the pasuk, you say Gam Ki Yitnu. So really, you're supposed to understand that not B'lashon Ivris, not in Hebrew, but rather in Aramaic. And as Rashi points out over here, how do we the transition from Hebrew to Aramaic takes us from the word Tenu to the word Shanu. Meaning, it's a couple of tricks that doesn't help a lot, but it helps a little bit, is that the Taf and the Shim are interchangeable between Hebrew and Aramaic. So for example, two in Hebrew is shnayim, or shnei, and in Aramaic it's trei. Okay, so I understand. More than one letter got changed, but the taf and the shin are interchangeable between the two. So in the pasuk in Hosea, it says, gam ki yitnu, but we're going to read it as shnu, meaning to teach, to learn. So itinu kulo ata kam same. And now, with that in mind, here's how you darshan the pasuk in Hosea. So if the Jewish people in its entirety are learning, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'm going to bring everybody in, kribas galios, everyone is going to get redeemed from the exile. V'im ma'at mehem yichalu mimasa melech v'sarim. And if it's just a few of you are learning, so in other words, a select group of Talmid HaChachamim who are learning, so there's not going to be kibbutz galios, but at least those who are learning are going to get an exemption from masa melech v'sarim, from taxes. Okay. And finally, Ad Kesuve. And the third place in Tanakh, obviously Ksuvim, is again another source that teaches us that Talmid HaChachamim should be exempt from taxes. Dichsiv. Minudeb alova halach lo shalit lemirma aleihem. Now, truth be told, I'm sorry, let me just Let's read a little bit more. Vam Rav Yehuda minade zu minas hamelach. And each one of these expressions in Sefer Ezra is a reference to a different type of tax. The first one, minade, is a reference to minas hamelach, and balu zu kesef gugulosa, some sort of head tax. I'm going to be honest, I don't know the difference between the minas hamelach and the gugulosa, but anyway, different types of taxes. And halach zu anuna, and the halach is a reference to anuna. Rashi explains anuna is 10% income tax. So, but basically, the Talmud Chacham is going to be exempt from all of them. If you look at the Pasuk in Ezra in its original, you'll see that the exemption is not really for Talmid Chachamim, it's really for those people who are building the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning those people who are in, who volunteer and dedicate themselves to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so they're going to be exempt from the taxes. But if you look at the top Tosus over here, so Tosus says, but it's really not such a far stretch. I'm reading the top Tosus on the Amud, Lefisha Yuasukim Amalacha Shamayim Bevinyan Beis HaMikdash. So they're involved in Malacha Shamayim. So Hachinami Ein Lahatil Mas Al Lomdei Torah. So if you have other people who are involved in Malacha Shamayim, those people learning Torah, so they should also be exempt from tax as well. So the so that is the source from Ksuvim. So again, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to Rav Chanan, right? Yeah, Rav Chanan Bar Chista. So you should not do that. You should not be levying a tax against the Talmid Chacham. Next, Rav Papa Rama Karya Charita Ayasme. There were new pits that needed to be dug in order to get a new water source in the community. Rav Papa levied an assessment against the members of the community in order to provide money so that we should be able to dig. And Rav Papa levied this tax against everybody, including orphans. Now, generally speaking, we want to be extraordinarily careful about spending money of the orphans. Now, this is a public need, and they are going to be direct beneficiaries of the water if and when we do find water. The problem over here, as the Gemara is about to point out, is that we're going to dig for water doesn't mean we're going to get water. So we are making an assessment, and yes, they are going to be direct beneficiaries, but that's only if we find water. So I'm the Rav Shisha Brei, the Rav Yidil, the Rav Papa, Vidilma Lo, Midval. So yeah, you're going to dig, but that doesn't mean we're going to get water, and therefore you're going to be squandering money of the Yisomim, and that's not right. So I'm Alei, so Rav Papa says, okay, I'm with you. Mishko Shekil Naminayu, I'll take the money from them. In Midval, now if we get water, that's great. And Ve'ilah Ma'adrina Lo Ne'alayu. And if not, I'm just simply going to return the money back to them. So yeah, so Enachinami, I'll take the money, we'll dig, and I'll only keep the money, meaning I'll apply their taxes only if we find water. I'm Rav Yehuda Kola Iglai Gapa Filomiyasme. When it comes to fortification of the walls of the city, so money is going to be collected from everybody, including the Yisamim as well, but not the Talmid Chachamim. Avar Rabbanan Lo Tzricha Netirusa, but the Chachamim do not require Shmira. Again, you're going to see that's the theme alert of today. We're going to see that line quoted numerous times today. That's already, if I'm keeping a good count, the second time today that the Gemara said it. Hakola Kirya Pasya Afilam Rabbanan. When we are digging holes in the ground in order to extract water, so that assessment is going to be levied on everybody, including Talmid Chachamim. Rashi points out, everybody needs water, Talmid Chachamim need water as well. Meaning they don't need Shmira, but they do need water. So so as a result of that, that assessment goes on them as well. V'lo amarnela delo nafke b'uchluza. Aval nafke b'uchluza, rabbanan la b'nei mefek b'uchluza ninu. Now, that's only for collecting money in order to dig for water. But if there is basically some sort of rotation system where everybody's going to go out and dig, so then you should not expect the Talmid Chachamim to go out. Talmid Chachamim are not out in the field digging for the water. So the Gemara says on that, they're going to get a pass. In terms of collecting money, so you should not give them a pass. In terms of actual digging themselves, so that you should give them a pass. Rebbe Pasach Otsros B'Shnei Betzuros. Now, there was years of famine during the time of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, and so he opened up the storehouses during the times of famine. Amar Yichnesu. And he said, here's who is allowed entrance in order to take from the Otsaros. Bale Mikra, Bale Mishnah, Bale Gemara, Bale Halacha, Bale Haggadah. Those people who are involved in various types of learning. Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, and Agadata. Ava Ame Ha'aretz, but those who are Ame Ha'aretz, Ayikansu, so they should not go in. So, they, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to make it very clear, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had a very special dislike towards Amei Haaretz, and the Gemara is going to articulate. Dachar Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram v'nechnas. So in comes Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, and he comes in. Now, it's going to be a little bit strange, admittedly, because he is going to be accused of being an Amei Haaretz. I say it's strange because he had the title of Rebbe. Now, generally speaking, I understand nowadays it's nice. You know, some people are called, you know, in some shuls they call everybody Reb. You know, they give everybody a nice term of endearment, a term of respect. But back then, though, in other words, if you went with the title Rebbe, that meant, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that you had, or I should say better, exclusively in Eretz Yisrael, it meant you had smicha. And so it's a little bit strange, admittedly, that he went by the term Rebbe, and they referred to him as a. You'll see that he is about to be accused of being an Amei Haaretz. Or it could just simply be that the Gemara here is referring to him as Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, but in the story itself, he was just Yonasan ben Amram in any regard. V'nichnas, so he pushes his way in order to get food from the otsar that was managed by Rebbe. So Amalo Rebbe Parnaseni, so he says, please, I need to eat. So Amalo Bini Karisi, so he says, okay, chumash. So Amalo Lav. So he says, no, I don't know any chumash. Shanisa, so Amalo Lav. So he says, well, did you learn Mishnah? So he says, no. So Im Kain by Ma'af Arnasecha. So Rebbe Yonasan says, so what, how can I help you? Meaning, so you didn't learn Chumash, you didn't learn Mishnah, can't help you. Amalei Parnaseni Kekel V'Ka'al Reiv. So he says, well, look, I should be no worse than a dog or a raven. Rashi over here goes into some detail regarding why he compared himself to specifically the animals of a dog and a raven. Reading the Rashi, Kekel V'Ka'al Reiv, Rashi writes, Shechaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alayim, Shenemer Yodea Tzadik Din Dalim. Kadosh Baruch Hu had a special rachmanus for these particular animals. Quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Lefisha Kelav Mezonasav Muatin. Dogs have such a poor diet, they literally eat very little. Lefichach Shoah Achilasa B'Meav Shoshi Yamim. Food sits in their stomach for 3 days. Gabi Ari Ksiv Lev Ne'ar V'Shei Karu. So the pasuk we know at the end of Tehillim, Lefisha Arev Achzari Abanav, the Arev has a lack of compassion for their own children. V'Akash Baruch Hu Mazman Lahem Yitushim Mitoch Sevasam Va'Ochlim, and so therefore their nutrition comes out of the small little worms and maggots that are found in their excrement. So again, these are people that creatures who are sustained by very little, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanus on everybody and sustains them. So this this person going in front of Rebbe says, I shouldn't be worse than them. Okay, I didn't learn Chumash, I didn't learn Mishnah. But Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram is making the argument that I should be no worse than the Kelev and the Orev. So Parnasua. So fine. So he made a compelling argument to Rebbe. So Rebbe fed him. So, but after he left, even though Rebbe was at the time compassionate enough to feed him, but he had feeder's regret, buyer's remorse. So va'amar oili shenasati piti la'am haaretz. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have given bread to Amaris. Amalafan Rav Shimon bar Rabbi, the Shema Yonasan ben Amram Tamidecha Hu Sheinarot Aleanos Mechvot Torah Miyamav. And so the following suggestion was made to Rabbi: maybe he is not an Amaris. Maybe he is a Talmid Chacham. So, but when you ask him the questions of, did you learn Chumash and Mishnah, and they said no, it could very well be that he just simply didn't want to get benefit in this world from the Torah that he learned. And he wanted the Torah that he learned to be totally separate from any benefit that he got in this world. And it could very well be that that's the reason why he declined, rejected the idea that he knew something. So, Badku Vashkach. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, light bulb went off in his head. He said, you know what, you could be right. And they did an investigation, and it turned out that, yeah, that he was not an Amei Haaretz, he was a Talmid Chacham. So Amar Rebbe Kasu Akol. So Rebbe at that point in time had a change of heart, and he said, basically, let everyone in. I really don't know who is a Talmid Chacham and who is an Amei Haaretz, and even when people say they're not a Talmid Chacham, I still don't know. So Rebbe changed his tune. But Rebbe changed his tune only because he didn't know. Meaning, but had there been knowledge, he would have made that kind of distinction of only feeding Talmid Chachamim and not Amei Haaretz, and why? And the Gemara goes on to explain why. Rabbi L'Talmid Amar Rabbi and Peronius Ba La'olam Ela B'Shvil Amei Haaretz, they are the cause of the Peronius. Kahu Damei Klila D'Shadu Atveria. And the Gemara is going to tell a Maisa that indicates that really a lot of the Peronius are, in Rabbi's viewpoint, all the Peronius are coming as a result of the Amei Haaretz. So the Gemara tells the story of the crown of the king that was meant for Caesar, and in terms of who was responsible to pay for it, so it was placed on the town of Tveria. Also coming to Rabbi of Amr Leis for Rabban Bahadan. So they go to Rabbi and they say, look, there's an assessment on all the members of the community, and let's include in that the Talmid Chachamim, meaning they should pay as well. Meaning, so let's have everybody contribute towards the crown for the king, for the Caesar. So Amr Lehu Lo. So Rabbi says, no, I don't want to hear from that. Meaning, people will pay, but not the Talmid Chachamim. So Amr Lehi Arkinin. So they said to him, so we're just going to run away. Meaning, well, if you're not going to have the Talmid Chachamim contribute, and the responsibility is going to be on us, so we're just going to run away. Amr Lehi Aruku. So Rabbi says, don't threaten me. Go. Run away. So Arku Palgehon. So half of the members of the Tveri community ran away so that they would not have to contribute towards this tax. Dalyu Palga. So the half of the assessment that was originally placed on the city went away. Meaning, if let's say, for example, just throwing out numbers, if let's say, for example, the assessment was originally $1 million for the city to provide in order to make a crown for the king, for the Caesar, so now, as half the city members ran away, so now the assessment magically, quote unquote, halved itself, and now only $500,000. Also, Anupalga Kamed Rebbe. Now, the remaining half of the citizens of Tveri go to Rebbe, and they say to Rebbe, well, what do you want us to do? Amalei, let's for Rabban Bahadan. And again, they made the request that let the remaining Talmid Chachamim of the city contribute also towards this cause. Amaluhu lo. So Rebbe again said, no, they're not going to have to contribute. Arkinun. So again, they made the threat that they were going to run away. So Aruku. So Rebbe said, don't threaten me. Go ahead, run away. Arkukulu. Everybody in Tveria ran away so that they would not have to contribute to this assessment. Pasha Ukoves. So there was one dry cleaner, one launderer who was left in the town of Tveria, Shajua Koves. And now the entire financial responsibility to pay for the crown is now placed on the Koves, Ara Koves. So he ran away as well. Paka Kalila. Now, all the people that were remaining in the town of Tveria at this moment in time now are Talmid Chachamim. Rebbe was again insistent that they do not have to contribute. And as the story goes, the assessment kind of disappeared. And now, no more assessment. Talmid Chachamim didn't have to pay because there was no longer any assessment. Amar Rebbe, Re'isen She'ein Paranias Ba La'olam, Elish Bishvel Amei Aretz. And Rebbe says, my theory is proven. Meaning, exactly. Meaning, as long as they're Amei Haaretz, so there's going to be an assessment. Once there's no longer Amei Haaretz, there's simply no longer an assessment. You see that the my theories, in fact, so that the Peronius come as a result of Amei Haaretz, and that is why, again, going back, it seems harsh, but that's why when Rebbe opened up his Otsar, he would not want to feed the Amei Haaretz, as he felt that they were the cause of the Shnei Betzoros of the years of famine to begin with. We're in Ches Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're at the two dots, Bekamiye Be'ir V'yei Kanshi Ha'ir. We are looking back at the Mishnah. We're talking now about becoming a member of the city in order to contribute to whatever assessment is needed. So if it's for building, if it's for gates, it's for locks for the door, whatever assessment is needed for the community. So as long as you become Anshe Ha'ir, so now you have to pay. And when do you become Anshe Ha'ir? So the Tanakam and the Mishnah says that you become Anshe Ha'ir after 12 months. 12 months of living in a city, now you're going to get built. Uri Minu, the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem, and that is based on the following. So let's say you have a donkey driver, camel, they're just passing through town. and they happen to live, they happen to stay one night in a city. Now, the city they picked, as their luck would have it, is in Ir HaNidachas, a city where the majority of the people are Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Now, when a person's Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so the punishment is bemezid, if he does so intentionally, so it's a capital crime, the punishment is skila. He's subject to the death penalty and execution, specifically that of skila. However, when you are a member of an Ir HaNidachas, where the city in large, in the majority, are being Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so two things change. One, the onus that you get is still going to be misa, still going to be a death penalty, but it's not going to be skila, but rather it's going to be sayif. And two, you now become separated from all your monetary possessions. In other words, all the money that you have will be collected into the center of the city and burnt in the middle of the city. So those are two notable changes that happens when you're Ovid of Avodah Zarah in an Ir HaNidachas. And now we're talking about the camel driver and the donkey driver, who are literally passing through the town of the Ir HaNidachas. And it just happens to be that with their unfortunate luck, so they're there for that city. So v'lana b'tocha v'hudcha imahem, and they are now, they got caught up in the avodah zarah that was going on in the Ir HaNidachas. Hein b'skila mamon palat. So they've only been here for one day. So I don't know if I would call this good news, but here's the good news. You're not considered a member of the Ir HaNidachas in that you are over to Avodah Zarah, but you won't be treated like the Ir HaNidachas where you're going to get Saif. You won't be put to death by the sword, but rather by Skila, which is the normal means of execution for somebody who's over to Avodah Zarah. And on top of that, also, your money will be salvaged, which means that obviously you're not going to benefit from it as you're going to be executed, but it's going to go to your children, it'll go to your descendants. It won't get destroyed in the Ir HaNidachas. However, and this is the part we're interested in hearing right now. V'nishtahu sham shloshim yom. However, if they're there for 30 days, ein b'sayif mamon amavad, so now they are considered part and parcel of the Ir HaNidachas. They now are subject to the death penalty of the Ir HaNidachas, which is sayif, and they're going to lose their money as well. They're disavowed of their money. Okay, so what did we just learn together regarding people going through the city of the Ir HaNidachas? 30 days and you become a member, a card-carrying member of the city, where you get all the rights and benefits of the city, and in this case, you get all the liability and responsibility being a member of that city. So that obviously is difficult, because in our Mishnah, to become Anshei Ha'ir, you have to be there for 12 months, and that's what we would call a stira. So Amar Rav Lakasha Halav Ne'masa Ha Liyisuve Masa. So the Gemara says we're going to make the following distinction, that is being a Ben Ha'ir and a Yoshve Ha'ir. Now, it sounds a little bit like nomenclature. It sounds a little bit like we're just throwing out words. Okay, it's hard really to indicate what the core distinction is between them. But if you are Yoshve Ha'ir, you are a resident member of the city, that means 12 months. If you are simply Bnei Ha'ir, so it means that you're here. Okay, again, sounds a little bit like semantics, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what. It's a Mishnah and a Darim, and the Mishnah and Darim definitely speaks to this kind of distinction. Kiditanya. Hamuda ana me anshei ha'ir, if let's say you are not going to get any benefit from the members of the city, and you use the words anshei ha'ir, koshin ishar sham shem asar chodesh asar le'anos mimenu. So that means now that you have to have somebody who has been here for 12 months. Then he is considered anshei ha'ir, and you cannot get benefit from him. He's going to be included in your neder. However, pachas mikan mutter. But anything less than that, and you can go ahead and accept an invitation from somebody who's been here less than 12 months. Now, mi yoshve ha'ir, instead of saying anshei ha'ir, your neder was, I'm done with this place. And I'm not going to get any benefit from those people who are yoshve ha'ir. So, koshin ishan, sham shoshim yom, maso le'anos mimenu, pachas mikam moto le'anos mimenu. So, clearly, this Mishnah in Nedarim makes this distinction between Anshei Ha'ir and Yoshvei Ha'ir. And basically, we're going to take that and apply it towards now the distinction between our Mishnah and the Brice regarding Ir HaNidachas. The Brice regarding Ir HaNidachas that says that you are now a member of the city only after 30 days. So the Torah, when describing the Ir HaNidachas, uses the language of Yoshvei Ha'ir. Rashi quotes the Pasuk. So uses the language of Yoshvei Ha'ir. That's why the threshold to becoming a member of the Ir HaNidachas Shachas is going to be 30 days. Masha Ein Kein, in terms of being a contributing member of the community, to be Anshei Ha'ir, so for that you need a full year. Continues the Gemara, L'chol Meila Mi Be'in and Yud Beis Chodesh V'Atanya. The Gemara says, well, why don't you consider the following? It's clear from the following that you have to contribute even less than a year. And let's go. The Brisa says, Shoshiyam L'Tamchui, in order to contribute to the Tamchui, that is the basically the soup kitchen of the city. So 30 days. Once you're in the city for 30 days, you got to start contributing to the soup kitchen. And Shosha Chadashim L'Kupa. And as far as the local charities concerned, so 3 months and already you're expected to contribute towards that. And Shisha L'Ksus. And in terms of the Gemach for clothing, so 6 months and you got to start contributing to that. And Shisha L'Kvura. And in terms of contributing to the Chever Kedisha, so 9 months. And Shneim Asar Lepasei Ha'ir. And for the wall of the city, so you have to be here for a full year. But you see over here that a month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, different markers along the way where you need to be a contributing member to the society, to the city. So, and again, that seems to be going against our Mishnah, but the answer is very simple, and the Gemara spells it out. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ki Tananam Imasisan, Shemas HaChodesh, Le Pasei Ir Tanan. The answer is very simple. Our Mishnah is only talking about Pasei Ir. The Mishnah is only talking about creating a wall for the city. In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, that's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. And so, yeah, so vis-a-vis contributing towards the city wall, so then, yeah, you have to be a resident here for 12 months. But for the soup kitchen, for the clothing gamach, for the burial society, in other words, for the other needs of the city, so your expectation is that you need to contribute even at an earlier point in time based on the last few lines of Gemara. Towards the bottom of the Amud. V'amar Rav Asi. Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol ha'pasei'er v'afil mi'asmei. Everyone has to contribute for the walls of the city. Even the orphans that are living in the city. So you have to take from their estate. Avar Rabbanan lo. The Rabbanan lo tzrichan in Tirasa. But not Tamid Chachamim. Because they don't require a Shmira. Okay, I think it's the third time today saying this line. It's the theme of the day. Amar Papa l'shura ula parsha ula trizana afil mi'asmei. So for the shura, That is the wall. And Parsha, Rashi explains, somebody walking around the perimeter to make sure that, basically a guard going around the city. And Tarzina, Rashi says, armed people who are standing by the gate of the city. So, Afilu Miyasme, so that collection, basically that's Shmira. And so that collection comes from everybody, and including the orphans. But you know who doesn't have to pay for that? Well, you should know by now, as the Gemara is going to say now for the fourth time today, Avar Aban Lo Tzrichan Et Tirasa, Klal De Melsa, the Gemara says, I'll give it to you as a general rule. Kol Melsa Diasle Hana'a Minei, Afilu Miyasme. Afilu Miyasme, Rabba Ramat Zdaka. I'm sorry. Afilu Miyasme. So as long as there's a hana, a benefit, and Shmira, certainly everyone gets a benefit from, except for Tamid Chachamim, we don't need it. But as far as the Shmira is concerned, so that's collected from everybody, even the Yisomim.
It's a good incentive to become a Tamid.
I suppose. There should be other incentives as well, but okay. Rabba Rama Tzedakah Ayasme Debei Bar Marion. Rabba assessed tzedakah on the Yisomim of Bei Bar Marion. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabba, what are you doing? V'atani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda in poskim tzedakah al Yisomim. Afil pigeon shvuyim. We do not assess tzedakah on the Yisomim, and not even for the purpose of pigeon shvuyim. Pigeon shvuyim is that we get the collection for ransoming those people who were taken to captivity. As the Gemara in a moment is about to articulate, that is one of the highest levels of tzedakah. I can even say in superlative, it's the highest level of tzedakah. It doesn't matter. You don't collect from Yisomim for these purposes, meaning for Shmira, for the Yisomim, fine, that you collect. But not for tzedakah, and not even for Pidgin Shvuyim. So what are you doing? Says Abaye to Rabba. Respectfully, of course. Rabba was his father, his Rebbe, his everything. Not his biological father. Right. Huh?
It was Rabba.
It was his...
Rabba was...
No, Abai was challenging Rabba. So I'm just simply pointing out, Rabba raised him. Okay, fine. Anyway, so Amrle Ana La'ach Shevinu Ka'avidna. So he says as follows. I didn't assess it stuck from them because I really need the money from them. Meaning, it's not about the money. It's that, just that if I were to take money of them for the purpose of communal funds, so then people understand that they are significant members of the community and they're orphans and they, in and of themselves, they don't have the kavod that they, nobody gives them the proper kavod. So by me collecting money from them, it's basically to provide for them kavod, and people will treat them with respect. Even though people should do it anyway, they're yisomim, but okay. So he says, and if that's the intent and if that's the purpose, so under those circumstances, you're allowed to collect. If Rahumas Ime Dishwamalka Shadre Arnaka Didinara Lakamadir of Yosef. So if Rahumas, we hear her a number of times, she was the mother of Shwamalka. Shwamalka was a non-Jewish king living in Bava at the time. So sent, she was very wealthy, she was the mother of a king. So she sent a chest of money to Rav Yosef and Amra. And her instructions in terms of how to earmark this these funds is Lehavin Lemitzvah Rabbah. She said that the purpose of this money should be for a great mitzvah. And so, with her instructions being somewhat ambiguous, so now we need a clarification of exactly what this money should be applied towards. Yosef, Rav Yosef, become a ayin bas. Rav Yosef looks and he investigates the my mitzvah rabba, and he says, what is meant by mitzvah rabba? Amalei Abayim in Deniv, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. And Abayi says, I know, because they have the brisa, and the brisa says, they impose in stock, I'll eat some of them, pigeon shvuyim. Quoting the brisa that he quoted just a moment ago, so the brisa says that we don't collect money from yisomim, and not even for pigeon shvuyim. So what do you hear from that? Very clearly, pigeon shvuyim obviously is the optimal form of tzedakah. It's the highest form of tzedakah. So shma mina, so you see the pigeon shvuyim mitzvah rabbah. So pigeon shvuyim obviously is a mitzvah rabbah. So we're going to take the money that was given by Ifra Hormiz and we're going to dedicate it towards the mitzvah of pigeon shvuyim. Okay. It is a little bit difficult. Tosfos on the very top of the Amud points out the Gemara Megillah. So it says that you could sell Sefer Torah, but only under very limited circumstances. Learn Torah, Lisa Isha. So it's interesting, says Tosfos, that Pigeon Shvuyim is not mentioned as one of the reasons why you could sell a Sefer Torah. So Tosfos over here points out, maybe it's obvious. You know, maybe it doesn't even that's not even a Chiddush. Okay. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So Amalei Rava La Rava Bar Mari Menaham Milsa Dam Rabban and the Pigeon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbihi. How do I know that mitzvah the mitzvah Pigeon Shvuyim, the stock of Pigeon Shvuyim is such a big mitzvah? Where do I know that from? Amalei Dichsiv. So we're going to darshan the following. The pasuk says Vayaki Amru Alecha Ana Neitzev Amarta Aleim Kamar Hashem Asher Lamavis Lamavis VaAsher LaCherv LaCherv VaAsher LaRav LaRav VaAsher LaShvi LaShvi. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is forecasting destruction for the Jewish people, says that whoever is going to die will die, and to the sword, and famine, and anyone who's going to be taken into captivity is going to be taken into captivity. V'amar, Rabbi Yochanan, kol ama ucher b'pasuk zeh kasha mechavero. Now, basically, what's happening in this pasuk is that every description is going to be worse than that which is stated previously. So, Cherev Kasha Mimavis. So first we are describing, the first thing described in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is just Mavis, which is just a quote-unquote natural death. Next, which is worse than that, is Cherev. And the Gemara points out, and it's pretty obvious, but Gemara spells it out, that Cherev is worse than Mavis. Dying through the sword is worse than a natural death. Ibai Seim Akra, Ibai Seim Asvar, we could say it based on Psukim, and we could say it based on just a simple logical argument. Ibai Seim Asvar, Hai Kamenava, Hai Lo Kamenava. So first of all, let's say it by just a simple logical argument. Natural death means that you die, but intact. Dying by the sword means that you die, but your body has been defiled. V'ibai Seim Akra, the Gemara also points out, the Pasuk seems to indicate this as well. Torah says, I should say, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yakar B'nei Hashem, Hamav Salachasidav. Okay, we're familiar, we say it during Hallel, and it's Yakar B'nei Hashem. Yakar means the one pshat that, which is not what the Gemara's intent over here is that it's difficult. It's difficult in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamav Salachasidav. But here, in the context of this Gemara, we're saying now a different pshat. Yakar from the word Yakar, which means it's honor. It's honor to die a natural death as opposed to a death through the sword. Okay, so where are we on our progression? So we went from just a natural death to that of cherev, and worse than that is ra'av. Ra'av is kasha mecherev. Dying by starvation is worse than dying by the sword. So he buys emasvara. So the Gemara, once again, says that we could say it either through psukim or through a svara. So the Gemara starts off with a svara, high come and star, high low come and star. So when you die by the sword, so it's terrible, but doesn't involve a lengthy, painful process. Dying by starvation is long, it's drawn out, and it's painful. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that also seems to indicate very clearly that it's better to die by the sword than to die by starvation. And shvi kasha mikulam. And worse than that is taken into captivity. Dekulu isnu bay. Because by taking into captivity, so basically you have everything, it's all the aforementioned. It's the sword, it's starvation, it's painful, it's nevil. Everything we described is all included in by taking into captivity. And that's why, now going back full circle, when we describe mitzvah rabbah, what's a great mitzvah? So we said pidgin shvuyim. So pidgin shvuyim, because basically you're saving somebody from the horrors of everything we just described. Next. Tanu Rabbanan. When you have a charity collection, so it is collected with two, it's divided with three. So in terms of when you're collecting the tzedakah, so it should be no less than two, because when you have a shrara, an authority position that involves money, so it should not be done with less than two. And when divided, you need three. Why? Because basically, it's allocation. And when you're talking about allocation, so who's entitled to receive what money? So we know, the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, it's first parak, third parak, dinim amanos b'shlosha. So this is monetary allocation, so it needs to be done with three. When it comes to the collection plate, so the it is going to be collected with three and it's going to be divided with three. Why? Shigvui v'chaluka shavim. Because both its collection and distribution are going to be the same. What exactly that means? Take a look at the Rashi, third line down. Rashi writes, Shigvui v'chaluka shavim b'chol yom midi yom b'yom k'diktan l'kamer l'fichach ein govim b'shtayim shelo yitzarchu l'choruch l'vakesh asashisha l'chalik. What's going to happen is that with the tamchui, basically, as we're collecting, we're also distributing. So now imagine, if we only collected with two, so now we're going to take time to find the third guy in order to do a distribution. So let's streamline the whole process. So basically, we'll have three now, even though we don't really need three for the collection, but we want to streamline the whole process, have three for the collection, then you'll have three for the distribution, and everything will be done seamlessly. Tamchui b'chol yom kupa me'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. The tamchui is distributed every day. The kupa is only distributed on a weekly basis. Tamchui la'ani, Laniye olam, in terms of the soup kitchen, so that's given to everybody, and kupa laniye ha'ir. And the kupa, however, is distributed to the people of the city. Urishayim b'nei ha'ir la'asos kupa, tamchui v'tamchui kupa. L'shnos l'chol mashirza. Now, the b'nei ha'ir can make executive decisions like transferring the kupa into the tamchui, and transferring the tamchui into the kupa, and basically make a make changes in terms of allocation as they deem fit. Urishayim b'nei ha'ir la'asnos al hamidos v'al ha'sharim v'al schar po'alim u'la'asi al kitzasam. And also the b'nei ha'ir can make executive decisions regarding measurements and gates and workers and lahasia al kitzasam. Rashi says that liknosis ha'ubra al kitzas divrehem lahasia midas din Torah. So anyone who's in violation and needs to be penalized, so the council members of the city can make these kinds of decisions.
Correct.
So let's go back to what we said earlier, that when it comes to shrara, when it comes to the kind of authority where we need to take money from people, should not be done by less than two people. Why not? They will collect the zav. When talking about the contributions made towards to the Asiyas HaMishkan, so it says heim. So they're going to take. So Shravasu Delo Avre, Now the Gemara says, in terms of Shravos, in terms of the Shravos, so that you're not allowed to do without two. But in terms of Ne'manos, so yes, so you can have Ne'manos even with less than two. Misayilah the Rabbi Chinah, Damar Rabbi Chinah Maisa, Umina Rebbe, Shnei Achen Al Hakupa. So in terms of appointing the people in charge of the kupa, so he appointed two brothers. So even though two brothers obviously cannot testify one with another, so in other words, there's no issue. So I'm sorry, in terms of their ne'manus, they can't testify one with the other. Nevertheless, they could serve as the two people required for the collection. Maisha Rusa, Damar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba, Avu Alafi, Shememashkenin Al Hatzdaka. So the point is that it requires authority, an authority position, because if you don't contribute towards the tzedakah, so they have the right to come in order to take a collateral against the tzedakah that you owe. V'afilu be'erev Shabbos. And this right is so strong, it's so powerful, that they can even come in on an erev Shabbos in order to collect. They have a lien, they have shibud against the tzedakah that you owe. Eini, the Gemara says, this is true. V'aksiv v'fakarati al kol lochsav amar av Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishmei derav afilu al gabei tzedakah. So the Gemara says that people who are oppressive, and including that are people who are gabei tzedakah. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that people who are gabei tzedakah are being too oppressive, unlike what we said previously. So the Gemara says, halokasha hada amir, hada lo amir. The Gemara says it depends whether they are wealthy or whether they are not wealthy. If they are wealthy and they're in a position where they can give, so then they should be giving, and there's a shiba that they should give, and you can even take a mashkan against them. If, however, the person's not wealthy and you push him to give, so then you're a lochit, then you're oppressing, and that the Gemara says is no good. And the Gemara just simply tells a simple maisa where Rava forced Rav Nasan bar Ami to give 400 zuz. 400 zuz is, to you, right from the Gemara's perspective, a lot of money. But the Gemara says exactly the point, that they are going to giving, they're going to be giving that kind of money. Okay, let's quickly wrap up. Let's just quickly summarize. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point in time. Okay, so today's daf in Baba Basra was daf Ches. With continuation of the Gemara regarding the communal responsibility and what people have to contribute to. The Gemara said, I think we counted four times today, that Tamidei Chachamim don't require Shmira, and so therefore, in terms of contributions towards city gate, city walls, so you should not be collecting from Tamidei Chachamim. A couple of Amorim today did, in fact, collect from Tamidei Chachamim, but through the protests of other Amorim who says that you're not allowed to do that. In terms of collecting for things like water and water sources, so that's collected from everybody, even Talmidei Chachamim. And then the Gemara went on a lengthy discussion regarding Rebbe and his attitude regarding Ame Haaretz. He was not favorable to the Ame Haaretz. The Gemara goes on to explain. And more discussion in the Gemara today regarding how you collect the money. In terms of the collections, so it should be done no less with two, because you need shravas, you need a certain amount of authority. As we learned in the end of today's daf, the authority is based on the fact that you, if necessary, are going to be a mamashkein. You can even take collateral against a obligation that people have to give tzedakah. And in terms of distribution allocation, it has to be done with three. It's dini mamonos, and dini mamonos can only be done with three. Okay, and in terms of taking tzedakah for one cause and diverting it to another cause, so the Gemara says that under certain circumstances you're allowed to do that as well. Continue tomorrow.